Yes, most definitely. Pray the Lord will protect. Here we are, thankful to be here at Union Church this evening, and we ask you to pray for us at the time that we stand before you. We appreciate the humble prayer that Brother Burl offered, and the fact that he asked the Lord to bless us and sustain us here this evening as we try to speak in His glorious name. One thing in the church that a problem that I have, as I've told you before, is I have to listen to Elder Mickey Myers preach most of the time. But I try to seek opportunities to hear my brethren preach and enjoy the wonderful gifts that they have. And Sunday night at Antioch, if you were there, several of you were, I believe you received a treat. I very much a blessing in coming to worship with us. Good song service, fervent prayers that were offered, and the Lord certainly blessed Elder Mark Quarles to preach. And the subject matter that he preached on is stirred my mind and directing my thoughts this evening, and I trust we will look at some of the same things, but maybe go in a little different direction as well. We got that, Brother James. Are we okay, maybe? We'll try. I remember asking Brother Roger Lewis one time. I said, "Brother Roger, do you believe there's any error in Scripture?" And Brother Roger, you know what his answer was. And I said, "Indeed not. Indeed not." And he said, "Do you?" I said, "No, sir, I don't. But there's one thing that's pretty close and I have problems with anyway." I said, "Over in the book of James where he told us, 'Resist the devil and he'll flee from you.'" Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. I said, "Brother Roger, he may flee from me, but he specializes in U-turns and he comes right back." Brother Burl laughed. Maybe his experience as well. But Brother Mark mentioned that and started with that verse of the night. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You need to look at the part of that verse right above that. It says, "Submit yourselves unto God." Submit yourselves unto God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And Brother Mark made a wonderful point that maybe I haven't considered as much as I should have before. How much resistance do we put up? How much resistance do we put up? You know, the great tragedy in our community, the trial was held last week in Magnolia in the Senate. The perpetrator was sentenced to death, and that has scarred our community forever. And lives have been affected and changed so drastically. And you know, on that video that the news reporter on the arrest scene was able to film, he mentioned there that he wanted suicide by cop. But you know, I don't think he really did because he put up no resistance. You got to put up resistance. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. And I don't know what your experience is, but I can tell you about mine. I get tired of wrestling with him. I get tired of having thoughts and sometimes even acting on those thoughts or committing sins that I know are against God. We want to look at some things this evening for a little while as we stand before you. In James chapter 4, beginning in verse 2, says, I'll read this to you. It said, "Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, 'The Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you.'" There are many scriptures that relate to this, and I believe, you know, as David said on one occasion in Psalm 119:11, the longest psalm in Scripture, I believe David was the author of that psalm. And Psalm 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee." It's important, I believe, that we study God's Word, that we come to the Lord's house, that we set our affections upon things above. I heard a man speak one time at a marriage seminar that Sister Karen and I were able to attend. And he had three sons, Brother Joe and Sister Ramona. And he said before they ever left home on any type of social outing, he prayed with them. He prayed with them. And I was able to talk to one of his sons one time. He said, you know, it seemed a little easier. It seemed a little easier to follow the teachings of my home, having heard my father pray before I entered into the world where lustful thoughts and lustful activity is the norm sometimes, and maybe even some expectations. I believe that's a good example for us to consider in our life, wherever we may be along that path. You know, my mom loves 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. It says, abstain. Abstain from the very appearance of evil. Abstain from the very appearance of evil. She said, son, I've tried to teach you right from wrong. So if you go into a situation that you know is not God-honoring, it's not in your best interest, then remove yourself from that situation as quickly as you possibly can. You know, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, be not conformed to the image of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that good and acceptable will of God. I remember Brother David Piles preaching on that before. You know, conformed, that word there, con, the prefix con means together. And form means to shape or mold. So do not be molded by this world. You know, transformed is shaped, but or molded, but trans means across. And sometimes I want to separate the A and the C in that and think about the cross. That's where the transformation comes in. I remember Brother David preaching in that sermon that if you are a born-again child of God, you may find yourself in some worldly activities, but you won't be able to enjoy them. That's been my experience. Somehow it just didn't seem like I got as much satisfaction as some of my peers who were involved in the same activities. Friendship with the world is enmity against God, dear friends. When we consider what He did for us at the cross of Calvary, I remember hearing one time about a Civil War soldier. It said back in those days in the Civil War times that if a soldier didn't want to go to combat, they could pay somebody to go for them. They could get a mercenary to fill in their stead. And this soldier was drafted and he got someone to go for him. And that soldier was killed in combat. Then they tried to redraft the original soldier. And he said, no, I don't think I should be made to go because the man who went for me died for me. He died in my stead. And they didn't make him go. When we think about that the Lord has died in our stead, it ought to give us motivation to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these other things will be added unto us. You know, in over there in the book of Romans in chapter 6, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid. Shall we continue? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? That's a ridiculous thought to sin, to have a grace test, dear friends. You know, the Bible says, the Lord, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourges every son whom He receiveth. Also there in that scripture in Romans chapter 6, verse 12, I think it is, it says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to obey the lust thereof. And I may not quote that exactly like it is in scripture. We could turn there and find it, but Romans chapter 6, verse 12. Think about that for a minute. Do not let sin therefore reign in your mortal body to obey the lust thereof. When it tells you in Scripture to let something happen or not let something happen, my dear friends, we have the ability to do that. It may not be easy. It may not be easy. You know, Brother Mark mentioned the other night, you know, that think about the lust of the flesh. They try to make it as appealing to the senses as it possibly can be. I thought about, you know, the old Marlboro men. And I'm not here to cast stones at anybody this evening, but you know that original Marlboro man. He was the word rugged was always used with him. He was a handsome fellow now and had a rugged cowboy appearance and from Lake Charles, Louisiana. Said he smoked a pack and a half for over 25 years. He died at age 51 of lung cancer. You know what, though, in those commercials, they showed Wayne McLaren holding that Marlboro, but they didn't show the ones down at the hospital that were gasping for breath. I remember one, Brother Joe, I'm going to talk about your daddy just a little bit. You know, when our daddies were young, there was a lot of ignorance about cigarette smoking, and my dad and your dad were addicted to those things. I hate to say it, but this is the way it was, and I'm sure the Young family did like we did. We tried to get my daddy to stop smoking. It's not good for you. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I remember Brother Harold Young telling me when he had oxygen on. He said, Brother Mickey, if I could, I would go to school assemblies and talk to kids right now. If I could just save one from going down this road. I don't tell you the whole story. I see these commercials on television and these other things, dear friends, they show people that appeal to the lustful parts of our brain and our very being. There's another Marlboro man that lived to be 90. He never smoked a day in his life, but only except on those commercials. He gave the appearance that he was a smoker. He said he was a Marlboro man for about 12 years, maybe 14 years. And then he quit. But he said, because I realized, it dawned on me. He said, one of his children asked him about it. And he realized, he said, I'm a bad example for my own children. And if I'm a bad example for my own children, I'm a bad example for my neighbor's children. We don't need to let sin reign in our mortal bodies to obey the lust thereof. We need to tell as the Lord said on one occasion, said, get thee behind me, Satan. I don't want anything to do with him, but he's persistent. Resist him and he'll flee from you. But what did he say before that? Submit yourselves unto God. Submit yourselves unto God. Say, Lord, give me strength. I trust that the last day I spend on this earth, that I will be a member of Antioch Primitive Baptist Church. I pray that I will be. I heard Brother David Burness preach one time about forfeiting your blessings. And I know at times we can do things in this life that we won't lose our salvation. You know, let me talk to you a little bit more about a few people in Scripture, if you will, for just a few moments. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, 2 Samuel chapter 11, we find a king. About eventide, he goes up on the rooftop and he saw a woman. He saw a woman and he lusted after her. Let not sin reign, therefore, in your mortal bodies to obey the lust thereof. But David had a lot of power. He brought this lady to him and they conceived. And, you know, sometimes when we sin, it creates the need for another one to try to cover up that one. You know, I hear people sometimes, and I know how they mean it. You know, have you ever heard somebody say what happens in Gulf Shores stays in Gulf Shores, or what happens in Las Vegas stays in Las Vegas? Don't you believe that, dear friends? It'll follow you home. It'll follow you home. There's a God that loves you, that sees you. And what do you tell us? Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to obey the lust thereof. Submit yourselves unto God and resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. There was a time over there in Luke chapter 4, maybe. In Luke chapter 4, where the Lord had been baptized and went into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights and did not have anything to eat for all that time. And the tempter came to him. Satan came to him and said, let these stones be made bread. He said, man does not live by bread alone, but out of every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know, there was a lot of other things I could preach on there, but we don't have time to get in that this evening. You can go back and read it for yourself. I'm pretty sure it's in Luke chapter 4. But you know what it said there? It said, when he said, get thee behind me, Satan, the Bible says that Satan departed from him for a season. So let me tell you something. If Satan has the belief that he can tempt our Lord and only departed from him for a season, what does that mean for us? I looked at the word season. It means a time of continuance, but not a long time. That's for a span of time. He departed from the Lord for a season. He's not going to depart from us very long at all. But resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Submit yourselves therefore unto God. But if we're talking about David, you know, after he conceived, he brought Uriah the Hittite to him and was going to send him home to Bathsheba. He says, no, I can't go. The ark and Israel and Judah and my Lord Joab are in the field dwelling in tents. I can't go home. So we got a battle. The battle's not over. We got to keep fighting. So, you know, David took it a step further. He sent a notice, you know, by the hands of Uriah himself to the captain. And said, put him on the front line in the hottest battle and retire from him. Put him on the front line and retire from him. Now, Brother Doug been talking about retirement. You know, when I retire, I'm going to have to leave the folks. I think for 45 or 90 days, I can't go to school. You know, I've still got a CDL and a bus driver's card. They need to drive a bus. I can't go. PERS will get me over that, so I won't be there. I'm going to leave them. And that's what they did, Uriah the Hittite. David. And you know, I love over there. Well, what a prayer Psalm 51 is. What did David say there? Create in me a pure heart, a clean heart, it says. Create in me a clean heart. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me by thy own free spirit. That's a wonderful prayer. But the reason David had to pray it was because he yielded to the fleshly temptations of this life. And it cost him something. Did it cost him his salvation? Indeed not. What did he say in that passage? Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Restoring it. Bring it back to me, Lord. Let me know in my heart again that I'm a child of God. I'm born again, and one day that heaven will be my home. He said, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Those who pray that prayer and live by that prayer have a great impact upon me and upon the Lord's children. I thank God for those in my life who have exhibited those things that I just mentioned, that transgressors are converted unto thee, that transgressors, I can teach transgressors thy way, and I'm losing my train of thought here, sinners shall be converted unto thee. Let's talk about another for just a minute. Over in Judges chapter 13, the end of 13:25, and then chapter 14. 13:25, begin to talk about a man by the name of a young boy by the name of Samson that was born a Nazarite. And then the last verse of chapter 13, it says that at times, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, at times the Spirit moved him, not moved upon him, but at times the Spirit, capital S, moved him. Now, you know, at my home, one of those seven deadly sins, slothfulness was not accepted. Laziness was not accepted. You know, we'd be sitting down sometimes and my mom or dad would say, what are you doing, waiting for the Spirit to move you? That's a lowercase s. But the Bible says here that at times, the Spirit, capital S, moved Samson, moved him. But then he went down to Timnath. He went down to Timnath and saw one of the daughters of the Philistines down there, and the Bible says she pleased him well. He was attracted to the physical appearance. You know, in Genesis, Esau, the Bible says Esau married two women there, Judith and Bashemoth. And the Bible says that they were a grief of mind unto Isaac and Rebekah. You know, I don't know, but Judith and Bashemoth's parents, Esau might have been a grief of mind unto them as well. But those of you who have in-laws for your children, sons-in-laws and daughters-in-law, and they are God-honoring people. Do they know that you think that? Some of you have been there before where your children were divorced and you know, their spouse just walked away from that covenant that they made before the Lord's people at their wedding day. And I know it hurts you. I know it hurts you. But oh, for those that are faithful spouses, those that are God-honoring, those that are helpmeets for your children, give thanks for those. And pray that the Lord would send, you know, none of mine are married yet. Oh, I want a God-honoring spouse for my children that loves them half as much as their daddy does. But Samson told his parents, said, go get her for me to marry. They said, son, is there not a daughter among thy brethren that you have to turn to these Philistines? But he said, go get her for me to marry, to wed, because she pleaseth me well. The last one I mentioned over there in Genesis chapter 39, Joseph. Joseph had a similar situation that we just talked about. You know, the Bible says there that, and you know the situation, the condition of him being sold into Egyptian bondage and him finding favor there with Pharaoh and with the Egyptians. And then they had a land in Goshen that he was there for 17 years and actually died there. And his bones were carried back to Canaan's land much later. But, you know, there was a Potiphar was a captain that he worked under. And Potiphar, the Bible says that all that he had, he gave into the hands of Joseph. So that all don't mean quite all. But the Bible says that he didn't know aught that he had except the bread that he ate. It was kind of like when Sister Karen passed away. I didn't know who he owed. I didn't know where the checkbook was. I had some business to take care of. I'd never done it before. But Potiphar didn't. He said all that he had was in the hands of Joseph. And he said he didn't know all that he had except the bread that he did eat. And the Bible says that his wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. Cast her eyes upon Joseph. And what did he say? I'm going to paraphrase here, but I can't quote it exactly. We can turn it in Genesis 39 and find it. But it says, how can I sin against God and commit this great wickedness? How can I sin against God? Oh, he hid those things in his heart that he may not sin against God. I trust that, I don't know what your temptation might be. We have them. We know we have them because the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But as I mentioned this evening about that old soldier in the Civil War that had someone to go off to fight for him, he told those in authority that were responsible for bringing soldiers into the military. I forget whether this one was representing the Union or the Confederacy. I forget now, but he said, oh, I shouldn't have to go to war because a man went for me and he died in my stead. Friends, I want to point out to you this evening that a man died in your stead. A man died in your stead. The man who knew no sin became sin for us. And we said it's finished at the cross of Calvary. He put away forever the effects of sin from an eternal perspective. We still have to battle it. We still have to battle it. But as I said tonight, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid. There's a song we sing in this book sometimes. We used to sing it a lot up in the Bethany Association up at New Bethel Church at Carthage. Old Brother Hayes Martin loved to lead it. And one of the verses in that song says, worldly pleasures, once my theme, tempted by their gloss, till I saw the scarlet stream dripping from the cross. I trust that when we get in a situation where we may be tempted to be drawn away and enticed of the things of this world, that we'll remember the man who died in our stead. We'll remember that scarlet stream dripping from the cross. We'll remember the man who was blindfolded and slapped and buffeted in his face. And they took the blindfold off and said, now, which one of us hit you? The one that they spat in his face. The one that they scourged. The one that was marred, as Isaiah said, his visage was marred more than any man. But yet, when he went to the cross of Calvary, he said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. May we honor him with our body and our spirit, which belong to him all the days of our life. Until, as we sang this evening, until Jesus comes. And then we'll be gathered home. I look forward to that gathering. But until then, may we, everything that we do, remember this, dear friends. What does the Bible say? A good name is what? Rather to be chosen than great riches. We can only leave a godly name, I believe, and a good name if we follow what's written in this book. And take those things like Brother Mark Quarles preached to us at Antioch the other night about resisting the devil, submitting yourself unto God and make them applicable, apply them to our very life, that we may have an impact while we live upon the earth. We all have Paul said one time, I have finished my course. I've heard Brother Ricky Myers preach about that before. You know what? Your course is going to be different from my course. It's going to be different. But I trust we can finish our course. As the Paul expressed, I've kept the faith. Says, henceforth, there's a laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me at that day. And not to me only, but to all those who love thine appearing. I look forward to his appearance. May we serve him and resist the devil while we live upon the earth. May God bless you. Is our prayer this evening.